We'll read from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17. Give your attention now to the reading of God's holy and inspired word. These are for you the words of life. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you will love one another." Thus far in the reading of God's holy word. The grass withers and the flower fades. The word of our Lord endures forever. Let's bow and ask him to bless its preaching this morning. Almighty gracious Father, we know that our whole salvation depends on our true understanding of your holy word. So we ask you to grant to all of us that our hearts would be free from worldly cares and concerns, that we may hear and understand your holy word with all diligence and faith, that we might rightly understand your gracious will, cherish it, and live by it in all sincerity to your praise and honor through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, as we began to look at this chapter in John 15, we looked at Jesus' words in verses 1 through 8, where he uses this extended metaphor of a vine. And we saw there how he connected it to the Old Testament. We'll continue to look at these words this morning, but we will also see in the following verses how some of the themes that Jesus brings up in that metaphor are carried through into verses 9 through 17. Verses 1 through 8 again make use of this vine imagery, and in verses 9 through 17, a lot of that's gone, but some of the same themes which Jesus communicates through that imagery are still taught. Last week, we looked at verses 1 through 8, particularly Jesus' statement, "I am the true vine," from what we might call a redemptive historical perspective, looking at the way that Christ uses this particular imagery to teach us the truth about himself, that he is the true vine, that he is the absolute fulfillment of all that the vine and fruit imagery of the Old Testament points to. He is the only fully and purely fruitful vine, and that we can only be God's people by attachment to him. But another point that Christ makes in this text, another point we see also in other scriptures, is this. And it is that what Christ does for us, he also works in us. What Christ does for us, he also works in us. We see here that when we abide in Christ, Christ who alone is the true vine, producing pure and acceptable fruit before the Father, he also does begin to work in us so that we produce fruit as well. God's people who abide in the true vine bear good fruit of loving obedience to the glory of God and to their own joy. God's people who abide in the true vine bear good fruit of loving obedience to the glory of God and for their own enjoyment. So we look this morning at this theme of fruitfulness, this theme which runs throughout this passage. We might ask, what is Christ talking about when he speaks about fruit? What does he mean when he says that you bear fruit? He's not speaking biologically, as Moses does when he records God's blessing at creation. Go and be fruitful and multiply. Now that's part of the metaphor here. And we realized last week as we looked at all of these Old Testament passages that fruit in this vine imagery is metaphorical for describing obedience, or in the case of Israel, disobedience, what they ultimately did, idolatry, straying from God and earning his wrath. And that's what we see in this passage as well, is that Jesus Christ, by this imagery, is urging us on to obedience. He says in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And in verse 17, these things I command you, that you will love one another. A fruitful Christian is a Christian who obeys Christ. He is urging us to bear fruit and to obey what he commands us. And particularly here, as we see, the commandment which he has foremost in mind is the commandment to love one another. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is a theme that keeps coming up in this portion of John's Gospel. We saw it when he humbly served his disciples by washing their feet. And he said, you also ought to serve one another. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Commands us to love. See, obedience is not just outward, but it is inward as well. It is an inward love for God and neighbor that expresses itself in outward actions. But not just outward actions that are done to for appearance sake. Outward actions that are done to check a mark off a list and say, okay, I did it, that chore's over. But those that flow, again, from a connection to the Savior, that flow from love which we have for one another. All of the commandments are to flow from a heart of love. And that's why, as we have seen in looking at this theme before, Christ summarized the whole law as loving God and loving our neighbor. That is what Christ is talking about when he speaks here of fruit. That is the definition of fruit. And we will see next the fact of fruit. That's what the fruit is. But now notice how much Christ speaks about it in this passage. Christ teaches us here that fruit is a fact of life for those who are his disciples. Those who are his do actually bear fruit. It's the most prominent theme in verses 1 through 8. Bearing fruit is mentioned 6 times in those verses. And it actually crops up again as the metaphor reappears in verse 16. That you should bear fruit and your fruit should abide. Non-metaphorically, as we have seen the parallel in verses 7 through 19, are that the commandments of God, obeying those commandments, is mentioned five times in that second section of this passage, parallel to the first. And note, the connection is always there between abiding in Him and bearing fruit. In verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes. It says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. The branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. See, if there is no fruit, he says the branch is taken away. That's putting it negatively. Those who do not bear fruit have no connection to Christ. But he also teaches this positively, that those who are connected to Christ do bear fruit. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is who bears much fruit. In verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And in verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Again, this close connection between those who abide in the vine and those who bear fruit, those who abide in love and those who keep his commandments, those who do what he commands and those who are his friends. And indeed, these works, John teaches, are something that we ourselves do. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is who bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. The implication of that last sentence is that if you are not apart from me, you can do very much. You indeed can bear much fruit, but it is fruit which is born in your own life. Jesus is talking about fruit which we should see in one another's lives. Again, the focus here is not on what he has done for us in his person. But there is also a focus on fruit that is produced in our own lives. That is what he says. He says fruit is obedience and love. And he says this fruit is evident in the lives of those who are my people. Bearing fruit means obedience to Christ, and the fruit of obedience is very important to Jesus. So important that he says, my people, those who are in me, will bear this fruit. Hearing these words, some of you may ask, can I really do that? Can I truly say the words that we have read to one another sincerely from the Psalms? Can I walk blamelessly? Can I put no vile thing before my eyes? We might hear these words and think, my obedience is so weak. How can I bear this fruit? How can I be one of God's people? How can I do enough to maintain my status in the vine that I am not chopped off and burned up? If we are asking these questions, in some ways they show a backwards understanding of the way fruit is produced. Having looked here at the definition Christ has of fruit, at the fact that he expects fruit in his people, note also what he says about the foundation of that fruit. Note what he says about the foundation of where that fruit comes from. On the one hand, yes, he is talking about fruit that is produced in our own lives as we obey God's commandments, as we love his Son, and as we love one another. But on the other hand, Christ teaches us here that our action is not a product of our own individual willpower, but of the power of God working in us and through us. As Paul said in our meditation passage, it is the grace of God which leads us to live fruitful lives. First, we note that the fruit is born by true branches is not strictly fruit of their own. The fruit is not ours in the sense of originating in us in an individualistic way. But it's only ours in the sense that it happens in our lives when we are connected to the vine. We only bear fruit because this fruit has its foundation in God Himself. And we see this in this passage in a number of ways. First, we see it in the Father's pruning. We see it in the Father's pruning. Jesus says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes." Why? That it may bear more fruit. Every branch which is truly in the vine, the Father prunes so that it may bear more fruit. It's not just the vine that is good and the branch that is good. It is the pruning of the gardener which makes it to bear fruit. In His providence, God cares for His people. He knows and does what is best for them. Sometimes it is painful, like discipline. As we read in Hebrews 12:6, the Lord disciplines those He loves and chastises every son whom He receives. In Revelation 3, "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline," He says, "so be zealous and repent." My wife and I bought our first house about a year and a half ago now. And as we moved in and we were so happy, we noticed shortly thereafter that a tree in the front yard had some branches. And some of those branches, the leaves started dying. And we thought, oh no, we just got in and now here's a big expense. We'll have to call an arborist or find something out. And we were worried that either the tree would die and leave a bare spot or we'd have to pay some exorbitant amount to have some expert come and perform tree surgery on it or something. I don't know what they do. But in God's providence, which was not painful but kind in this instance, some of our neighbors had people by to trim their tree. And we just asked them, you know, "We've got this problem with this tree. Can you tell us what's going on?" And they said, "Oh, a tree like that, if it grows too much, some of the leaves will shade the others and they won't grow. And you just need to prune some of the branches back. And we'll pop over and do it when we're done with this house." And we paid them on the spot and they pruned the tree. And the tree has been fine ever since. All that tree needed was a little pruning. And so God's discipline often removes dead weight from our lives. It often removes those aspects of our lives that get in the way of the most important parts of us, so that those parts might get the sun, the attention they need. Sometimes in His painful providences, the Lord shows us what loves we have that are preventing us from loving Him with all our heart and loving our brothers and sisters in Christ as we should. See, the Father's pruning is what produces fruit in us. And we would do well whenever we go through painful times to think, what can I learn in this circumstance? How can I grow closer to God and be more fruitful because of this providence which He has brought into my life? We grow because the Father prunes us. And we also bear fruit, not because of ourselves, but because we abide in Jesus Christ. He says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." If you are apart from Christ, you can do nothing. But if you are in Christ, it is in Him that you have the power to obey and to produce a godly fruit. If you cut a branch off and separate it from the trunk of a tree or from the vine, that branch cut off does not continue to grow and produce fruit for you. It is only as they are connected to the source of their life, the root of it, that they can produce fruit. And so Jesus teaches us, yes, you are to produce fruit, but you can only produce that fruit as you abide in me. We see the foundation of fruit is found in the Father's pruning. It's found in the abiding of the Son, who is the vine. And it is found in prayer as well. Prayer is necessary. It shows us that we need help. We cannot do it on our own. He says in verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. And again in verse 16, you did not choose me, I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, so that whatever you ask in the Father's name, ask the Father in my name, excuse me, he may give it to you. We can bear fruit because of what God gives us in answer to prayer. And that shows us again, we ask for things that we don't have. We ask for things that we need because we cannot bear fruit on our own. The foundation of fruit is an answered prayer. And as we continue to grow in the Lord, as we continue to abide in His Son, what kind of prayers do you think His saints are offering to Him? Lord, let me win the lottery. Lord, let me win that Lamborghini. Lord, let me love my brothers and sisters as I ought to love them. Is that a prayer you think God will hesitate to answer for you? The desire of your heart as you grow in Christ is to love God more, is to love your brothers and sisters more. Of course, that's the sort of prayer that God is pleased to answer for His children. We may finally note the foundation of our fruit is the choice, the election of God. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose and appointed you for this purpose, that you should go and bear fruit, and your fruit should abide. Your fruit does not come from yourself. It comes from a God who graciously chose you, who, as Paul puts it in a slightly different metaphor, grafted you in to the olive tree by faith. A tree to which you did not belong in and of yourself. God did not choose you because you were bearing fruit, because He saw a branch broken and lying on the sidewalk, producing fruit abundantly. No, He chose you to bear fruit, to that purpose. Fruit is the goal of God's election of us, and fruit is not its cause. As He said to His people in the Old Testament, I did not choose you because you were greater or more numerous than any other nation. I chose you because of my own love. All of these things show us the proper order of fruit bearing. Bearing fruit is not a condition of getting into the vine. It is a result of being placed there by grace. It is a result of being in the vine. And it is what happens when the Father who chose us works by His Spirit to conform us to the image of His Son, to graft us into the vine. And when the life of that vine flows through us, that is how we bear fruit. That is why we bear fruit. Next, you might look for some application. How is it that we are to bear more fruit in our lives? Again, we know the foundation is found in the Son. We know that it goes back to the election of the Father. But what is it that we are supposed to do? How do we bear fruit? It's not something we do in our own power, but nevertheless, Christ teaches it is something we do. Philippians 2, 12 and 13, Paul teaches us in this passage, saying, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You are to work. Why? For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Fruit is something you are to work for, recognizing that it is God who is at work in you as you bear that fruit. So this is what we are to do in order to bear fruit. We must abide in Christ. We must abide in the vine. It's a command he gives, abide in me. You are to go to Jesus, and some translations even say, remain in me. Remain in the vine. It is not just your own individual hard work and determination apart from Christ which bears fruit, but you can only bear fruit when you look to him as your Savior and your Lord, your vine, your source of life. One author said that you need to be actively resting in Christ. That kind of sounds paradoxical or even oxymoronic, does it not? But as he put it, you must be actively resting in Christ, continually going back to and leaning and resting upon him. Never falling into the rut of leaning on your own understanding, leaning on your own power, as we so often want to do, and fall into this way of thinking where, oh, I got it now. I've passed this threshold and now I'm a mature Christian and I can do it. Those baby Christians can abide in the vine. And the more we grow, the more we know it is that we need Jesus. The more we know that we must be depending upon him. And that is why we have to always actively go back to him, actively rest in him. You must abide in the vine. And Jesus says that abiding in the vine is also abiding in his love. We cannot take our eyes off of the love of Christ for us. He says in verse 9, abide in my love. Remember his love for you. We are to work for Christ as a friend, not as a slave in fear, not as one whom we must gain acceptance by our performance. Again, that puts all of it on us. That says, look, I can do it, and I can gain entrance into the vine by my own work. We must be abiding and working in love, in his love for us first and foremost. And Jesus also says that to abide in him is to abide in his word. He says in verse 3, already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. There's a play on words here. It's not evident in the English, but actually both the words for taking away and for pruning are related in Greek to the Greek word for cleaning or being clean. It does. If you actually read this passage, you might think in verse 3, what's going on here? You're clean already? He's not talking about dirtiness or cleanliness. He's talking about fruits and vines. But if you understand that from the Greek, you see that this work the Father does, he does through the Word. It's through the Word of God that the Father prunes us. And Jesus says again in verse 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Think how many times in this passage he says, you abide in me and I abide in you. And he says, I can just flip that and switch out, I abide in you, and say, my words abide in you. Because in the words of Christ, Christ himself is present. And if you want to abide in Christ and bear fruit for Christ, you must abide in his word. Christ is found in his word. And the Father prunes us through the word. So I may ask you, how often do you meditate upon the word of God? That man who is blessed in Psalm 1 meditates upon it both day and night, and so is like a fruitful tree. Whereas we read in Psalm 119, do you hide his word in your heart that you might not sin against him? Do you take time to read the word, to think on it, to, some people like to say, to marinate in it, be surrounded by it? Or do you just hear it once a week on Sunday mornings? Is that abiding in Christ through his word? Or do you dwell in it and let it dwell within you so that fruit will abound. We abide in the vine when we abide in Jesus, in His love, as He is found in His Word. And we bear fruit through prayer. Again, we ask God to give us these things. It's something we are to do, but again, in doing so, we're acknowledging that we can't do it by ourselves. When we pray, we say, God, please help me. I can't do this. I need to be in Your Son. I need You to provide me the strength I need through Him so that I can obey You and bear fruit. If you would bear fruit, abide in Christ, abide in His Word, and live in prayer. Finally, then, what does the passage say is the end of fruit? What is the goal of fruit? It has two things together that Christ teaches us: glory and enjoyment. Does it remind anyone of a catechism question? What is the chief end of man? It's to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Verse 8 says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." The Father is glorified in the Son because the Son obeys Him and does everything the Father gives Him to do. And now Jesus says, I am working that out in you, that you may bear fruit and that you may glorify the Father also. The Lord is deserving of all praise. And when we bear fruit, we give Him the glory He deserves. And yet we also find our fullest joy when we bear fruit in Christ. What brings glory to the Father is ultimately what also brings joy to His children. These things I have spoken to you, He says in verse 11, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. He says, if you want to live a fulfilled, joyful life, bear fruit. Fruitfulness is a joyful business. And when you abide in Christ and He in you, that is when you experience the joy of Christ. When you wander from Him, when you neglect His Word, when you for no reason neglect His worship and His people, when you slip up in your obedience and backslide, those joyful times in your life, they are not. Sometimes that's when you receive some of the Lord's painful pruning. But when you do abide in Christ, His joy dwells in you as well. It's not a joy that is superficial and passing, like the passing pleasures of sin which thrill for a moment, but leave you empty in the end. It is a deep joy, which surpasses understanding and can be found in Christ alone. That is the joy that is the result of bearing fruit in Christ. So I ask you this morning to consider yourself. Is there fruit in your life? Or do you live just like your unbelieving co-workers and neighbors? Is there fruit in your life which proves that you are abiding in the vine and the vine in you? If you can see no fruit at all, if there is no evidence of God's work in your life, perhaps you must ask yourself, am I abiding in the vine? Do I truly know Jesus Christ? Or are you a fruitless branch in danger of being taken away? There are those this parable teaches us have only an outward and formal connection to Christ, a name on a membership roll, a confession, yeah, I'm a Christian and believe in God, but whose connection is not living. Just as we often see a dead branch on a tree with no real connection to the life of that tree, bearing no fruit, devoid of leaves. If that is you, Christ invites you now. Come to Him. Believe in Him. Bear fruit in Him. Repent of your sins and your worldliness. And ask Him to save you. Ask Him to bear fruit in you. Look to the words of life and forgiveness which He speaks. And trust in what He has done for you so that He may work in you. Some of you may hear these words. Some of you may think, I'm scared. I try to bear fruit, but I'm weak. I try to bear fruit, but I fall back into sin. Abide in the vine. Go back again and again to your Savior, Jesus Christ, who loves you and gave Himself for you. Remember that He is the vine, and you don't have to be. You can't be. You can only be a branch. Look back to Him. Look into His Word where He declares to you what He has done for you. And abide in Him. Look and see that even your sorrow over sin is a fruit in and of itself. See that and be encouraged. See that and give attention to the Father's pruning in your life, that you may bear more fruit. And those of you who look at your life, who know that the fruit is imperfect, and it's going to have a wormhole here, a bruised portion there, but you do see fruit, give praise to the Father. And remember, as we are so often tempted to thank God for that fruit, because it is not your own, strictly. It is fruit which God has borne in you. And give Him the thanks for working in you, for being the vine that feeds you and supplies your life. Praise the Son who dwells in you, who answers your prayers. Thank the Father for granting you obedience. Continue to dwell in His Word. Pray to ask Him for more and more fruit, that you may bring glory to the One who saved you, and that you might enjoy the communion of His love. Let's bow in prayer.